ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदाशिवसमारंभां व्यासशंकरमध्यमां अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वंदे गुरुपरंपरां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति 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 ओम यश्चंदसाम ऋषभो विश्वरूपः छंदोभ्योध्यमृता संबभूव समेन्द्रो मेधया स्पृणोतु अमृतस्य देवधारणो भूयासं शरीरं मे विचर्षणं जिह्वा मे मधुमत्तमा कर्णाभ्यां भूरिविश्रुवं ब्रह्मणः कोशोऽसि मेधया पिहितः श्रुतं मे गोपाय ओम शांति 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 ओम मेधा देवी जुषमाणा न आगात विश्वाची भद्रा सुमनस्यमाना त्वया जुष्टा नुदमाना दुरुक्तान बृहद्वदेम विदते सुवीराः त्वया जुष्ट ऋषिर्भवति देवे त्वया ब्रह्मागत श्रीरुत त्वया जुष्टश्चित्रं विन्दते वसुसानो जुषस्व द्रविणो न मेधे मेधाम इंद्रो ददातु मेधां देवी सरस्वती मेधाम मे अश्विना उभावा दत्तां पुष्करस्रजा अप्सरासु चया मेधा गंधर्वेषु चयन्मनः दैवी मेधा सरस्वती सामा मेधा सुरभिर्जुषताम् आमा मेधा सुरभिर्विश्वरूपा हिरण्यवर्णा जगति जगम्या ऊर्जस्वती पयसा पिन्वमाना सामा मेधा सुप्रतीका जुषन्ताम् मयि मेधां मयि प्रजां मयि अग्निस्तेजो ददातु मयि मेधां मयि प्रजां मयि इन्द्र इन्द्रियं ददातु मयि मेधां मयि प्रजां मयि सूर्यो भ्राजो ददातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः अखंडं सच्चिदानंदं अवांग मनसगोचरं आत्मानं अखिलाधारं आश्रये भीष्टसिद्धये ఆశ్రయే
ఆశ్రయే
అభీష్ట
సిద్ధయే.
లాస్ట్ క్లాస్ వి సా ద స్వరూపం ఆఫ్ ది తురియం ఆర్ తురియ ఆత్మ. దిస్ ఇస్ స్వరూపం, ది నేచర్ ఆఫ్ ది తురియం ఆర్ నేచర్ ఆఫ్ ది తురియ ఆత్మ. వెనసే we saw the nature of the turiya atma or turiyam, and we have to understand that we understand what turiyam means, what is implied by the word turiyam, what is actually implied by the word turiyam is the reality, param brahma, para vastu. And as we saw, the word turiyah or turiyam, turiya itself is a word which is called chaturiya. There is a word called chaturiya. Chaturiya means chaturthah, chaturtha, fourth. And there the cha gets dropped and we get this word turiya. So, which means fourth. So, what is fourth here? So, it's Atma alone is implied by the term Turiyaha, the fourth. Which does not mean Atma is the fourth. Atma is like the fourth. You have to remember that very well. And this is why people say sometimes in meditation we experience Turiya. You don't experience Turiyam. You know, you are, in fact, the Turiyam is the very swarupam of the experiencer. Therefore, like the Turi, like the fourth, Atma is like the fourth person. Why is it said to be like the fourth person? Because one who obtains in all three states of experience. So very clear, we do not have fourth state of experience. There are definitely only three states of experience. And each state of experience is a state of mind. And these states of mind or states of experience are discontinuous and mutually exclusive. One cannot have simultaneously the experience of all the three states of experience cannot be there simultaneously. Therefore, they are mutually exclusive and discontinuous. But in each state of experience, what is that which makes the experience possible? What is that because of which experience is possible, experience is the presence of the existence of the experiencer. And that experiencer obtaining in each state of that variable changing state of experience is one and the same. The experiencer is invariable. The experiences are very different. The invariably present experiencer in all the three variable experiences is looked upon, is like the fourth person. The experiencer, who is that who obtains as the experiencer is the Turiyaha. So Turiya Atma is not the experiencer, but Turiyam is the svari swarupam of the experiencer obtaining in each state of experience. That's why I made it very clear last class. Turiyam or turiyaha is another word for atma. So what is that atma? All pervasive, innermost essence of every individual, the very substance of the substantive I, the content of the I, which is nothing but pure awareness or pure consciousness. And it is this pure consciousness implied by the term Atma, is also implied by another term, Brahma. So these two words also implied the reality, the consciousness. What is the reality? The pure consciousness. And the same consciousness is implied by these two terms, Atma and Brahma. And both these terms also only they imply the nature of the reality. That's why only in terms of the swarupam you arrive at the meaning of these words. What is implied by these terms? How do you arrive at only in terms of the swarupam? So we saw already how the word Brahman, implies the nature of the reality. So Brahman itself means what? Brihatvat Brahma. Due to its bigness, it's called Brahman. So how big is it that reality implied by the term? What is big? Reality is big. How big is it? It is limitlessly big. Limitlessly big means what? It's incomparably big. So incomparably limitlessly big means there's nothing which is comparable to that reality. Why? Because everything in this universe is subject to limitations. There's nothing which is, not subject to limitations. Therefore, it is incomparable. Because everything here is subject to time limitation. Everything here is subject to spatial limitation. Everything is subject to even object limitation. Nothing which is not subject to all these threefold limitations. If at all there is one thing which is not subject to one limitation, it's called space. And space is not subject to spatial limitation. But even that space which is not subject to spatial limitation is subject to time limitation. And space is subject to even object limitation. Why? Space is different from everything else. Every other object is different from space. Because space is subject to spatial limitation, and space is subject to time limitation also, and space alone is not subject to spatial limitation. And time is subject to time limitation. And everything else existing within the framework of time and space is subject to time and spatial limitations. Therefore, everything here, everything and anything being subject to these threefold possible limitations, there's nothing which is comparable to the Atma or Brahman, the Vastu, the reality. Why? Because Vastu is the Brahman, the consciousness implied by this terms, Brahman and Atma alone is not subject to threefold limitations. Therefore, we say it is limitlessly big. That's why the word Brahman means what? Limitlessly big. Being limitless and being limitless big, limitlessly big is the nature of the reality, the consciousness. Consciousness is limitlessly big. No? Because it is limitlessly big, it is incomparably limitlessly big because it is free from all these limitations. And that consciousness is limitlessly big alone, is what we say, what is there obtaining as the innermost essence of every being, everything, every individual here. Why? Because it is of the nature of all pervasiveness. When you say the only reality, and then it is of the nature of all pervasiveness. Because when you say time, it is spatially limitless, it is all pervasive. It is all pervasive means it must pervade everything here, evani namarupa here. Therefore it obtains as the very essence of the innermost essence of every being, every individual. That is why the word Atma also all pervasive, but innermost essence of every being is Atma. And that Atma is implied by the term here, Turiyam. And here we say, and initially we saw that consciousness implied by these two terms, Atma and Brahman alone, gets what now? Two different names as Jivaha and Ishwaraha. When does this name Jiva come? We already seen that. Before going to the next thing, again we have to tell you this. The same consciousness associated with Vyashti Ajnanam gets the name Jivaha. The same consciousness associated with Samashti Ajnanam gets the name Ishwaraha. So Vyashti Ajnanam, Samashti Ajnanam, hope you remember the Sanskrit terms. Therefore the status is only in keeping with what is it associated with. Actually speaking, the consciousness is neither the Jivaha nor the Ishwaraha, but Jivaha and Ishwaraha, the two different names attributed to consciousness in keeping with association. Therefore what? Jiva is Brahma. Or Ishvara is also Brahma. Well, repeat today, we are going to see Sajjana, that's why. Now here we are going to see this Turiya Chaitanyam, this pure awareness or pure consciousness implied by these two terms, Brahman and Atma, alone is implied by this term Turiyam also. What? This alone, in association with Ajnanam, it gets the two different names as Jiva and Ishvara. And if you cognitively dissociate from Ajnanam, then that is what is what? Pure consciousness. And how do we say here? This is what is revealed by this Mahavakyas also. Suppose we have this Mahavakyams like Tattvamasi, Aham Brahmasmi, I am Atma Brahma, Prajnanam Brahma. All these are Mahavakyams. Now, just take only one Mahavakyam, Tattvamasi. What is a Mahavakyam? We have already seen other classes, many times are repeated. Mahavakyam. Mahavakyam is a Vedic declaration, Vedantic declaration, a Vedantic statement. A simple statement consisting of three words, Tat, Tvam, Asi, but still it's called Mahavakyam, a great declaration, a great statement. Why? Because this statement is an equation. Equation means what? It equates the individual to the total. This is a statement in which the individual is equated to the total. The individual endowed with all limitations is equated to the limitless Lord, the total. So equation means, like again we say, Tattvamasi, it reveals the identity between the individual and the total. It reveals the oneness of the truth of the individual and the total. So if we say wave is ocean, it's a statement, and here wave is a small form, a name of a small form which is a part of the total devotion in its entirety. And here wave is ocean, means the small part, the form, which is part of the ocean, the entire ocean, is equated to the entire ocean. How can a part be the total? An individual part be the total? But it is equated. When the wave is equated to the ocean, and the wave which is equated to the ocean is not something away from the ocean, not far from the ocean, distant from the ocean. It is already the part of the ocean, the total. Without this one wave which is equated to this end total ocean, the ocean will be incomplete. You know that? The ocean, the total, is already inclusive of this part. Therefore, here we say this wave which is part of the ocean, the total, is equated to the total ocean. Wave is ocean. And this equation implies what? Actually, there is the difference as well as the non-difference. There must be difference, there must be non-difference also. In any equation, there must be difference as well as non-difference. There is only difference, equation is not at all possible. If there is only non-difference, equation is not necessary. There must be difference, there must be non-difference, only then equation is possible. So between the wave and ocean, of course there is difference. Wave is a small part of the total the ocean. Wave does not include the ocean, whereas ocean is big, which is inclusive of this part called wave. Therefore, they are different in form, in name, in size, in shape. There is difference. But what is the non-difference between the two? It is the water, the H2O, without which the form and name wave cannot exist. Without which the form and name ocean cannot exist. Ocean will, the word ocean also will disappear. That water is one indivisible, inseparable, partless whole. One. That is one. The truth of the wave, truth of the ocean is one and the same water. Therefore, there is the non-difference from the standpoint of the water and difference from the standpoint of the name and form. Therefore, we can say the water, when you say the wave is ocean, equator, that equation reveals the oneness of the truth of the wave and the ocean being water. And it also reveals what? The equation implies the non-difference between, it reveals identity between wave and ocean. Similarly here, when you say this Jivaha Ishwaraha, Jiva is Ishwaraha, Jiva is, Jiva being associated with Vyashti Ajnanam, and as an individual, as an individual, is part of Ishwara the whole. At the same time, what is limited, subject to all limitations. Whereas Ishwara the whole being free from limitations, limitations in the sense, is Ishwara being the total, there is a big difference in the Nama, Rupa, there is a Bheda, there is a difference. From the standpoint of the truth, without which there cannot be Ishwaraha. Without which there cannot be jiva status. The truth happens to be one and the same, turiyam or atma or brahma. Turi Atma or Brahma Chaitanyam. Now, Jiva is Ishvara. The Jiva is Jivaha Ishvara Eva. Jiva is Ishvara. Means there is difference, there is also non-difference. This is why this reveals the identity between Jiva and Ishvara from the standpoint of the truth. When you see the difference, when you say wave and ocean, for these two words, there is a vachyartha. Vachyartha means literal meaning. What does the word wave mean? A small form and name. What does the word ocean mean? A big form, which is inclusive of the wave. The vachyartha means the literal meaning of the what is literally understood by these two words, wave and ocean. The lakshyartha, the implied meaning is what? The truth. When you say wave is ocean, in equation, the standpoint of vachyartha, the literal meaning, the simple meaning, there is difference. The standpoint of lakshyartha, the truth, the water, there is non-difference. Lakshyartha drishtya abhedaha, vachyartha drishtya, there is bhedaha, difference. No, from the standpoint of literal meaning, there is difference. The standpoint of implied meaning, there is non-difference. So, which meaning should we take? If we take the literal meaning, there is difference. If we take the implied meaning, there is non-difference. From the standpoint of the lakshyartha alone, we can make, even the equation is possible. Equation can be made. So here also Jiva is Ishwaraha. That Jiva being identical with Ishwaraha. Every individual with all object, all limitations is equated to Ishwara, the total. From the standpoint of the truth of the Jiva and Ishwara. That is what is, you know, revealed by these Mahavakyams. So Mahavakyam itself is what? Because it reveals the identity between the individual and the total, small and big. Tat Tvam Asi, that Mahavakyam, Tvam stands for you, the individual, because every individual is addressed by the Upanishad, Shruti. You are that. Thou art that. You are that. Tat Tvam Asi. Tat Brahma Tvam Asi. Or the Tat is a third person singular pronoun, which stands for Ishvara, the total. And Tvam, the second person singular pronoun, stands for you, the individual. And you are Ishvara, means you, the individual, are equated to Lord, the total. Definitely, you are different from the Lord. Lord is different from you. The individual is different from the total. Total is different from the individual. How? In name and standpoint of name and form. The standpoint of all other powers. But from the standpoint of the truth, you are non-different from Ishvara. Which standpoint? The standpoint of the Turiya Chaitanyam, the consciousness, which is the only truth of the individual and the total. You are non-separate from Ishvara. You are non-different from Ishvara. You are Ishvara. Isn't it? Therefore, here also, the implied meaning of the Tvam and Tat, the pronouns indicating the Jiva and Ishvara, in any Mahavakyam is what? The is actually the Turiyam alone. Okay, that's what I want to say. You know all these things. I have decided to bring in this Turiyam. What is this Turiyam? Turiyam is the Lakshyartha, implied meaning of the tat and tvam are the words indicating the individual and the total, or jiva and ishvara in all the mahavakyams. Especially tattvamasi mahavakyam also. Is it clear? Lakshyartha, not the vachyartha. That's also part of the today's class. I want to have to tell that. What is turiyam? Turiyam is the implied meaning lakshyartha. Lakshyartha what? Tattandatvam. Are the words indicating individual and the total? Jiva and Ishvara. In the Mahavakyam. So you've seen that last class. And here, that's why in that month, in that 49th verse, you can see that the mantra quoted is from Mandukya Upanishad. Shivam Advaitam Chaturtham Manyate Sa Atma Sa Vigneyaha Ityadi Shrutehe. So Mandukya Upanishad, this mantra is quoted. This is the seventh mantra, the most important and the popular mantra from, the very important mantra from the Mandukya Upanishad, first chapter. Isn't it? Agama Prakarana. So again, to know further, how do you arrive at this turiyam? How do you only heard the term chaitanyam, consciousness, awareness, and it is of the nature of all pervasiveness. It obtains as the innermost essence of every individual. Therefore, it is known by the term atma. And this consciousness is limitlessly, incomparably limitless, of the nature of it is incomparably limitless. These are the nature of limitlessness. Therefore, it is also implied by the term Brahma. There is no reality other than this awareness. The only reality of the total and the individual. When you say it's only reality of the entire, the total cosmos, it must be the reality of everything and anything which performs part and parcel of the whole. The truth of the whole must be the truth of anything and everything which exists as part and parcel of the whole. We know that. But how do you arrive at what this consciousness is? How this awareness is? That is why the word turiyam is used here, isn't it? How do you know it is turiyam? This awareness is simply the word turiyam, like the fourth person, one who obtains that which obtains, like the fourth person in all three states of experience. Now, I mean, how do you arrive at it? So you have to analyze your each state of experience. But for it to, before even you analyze each state of experience, you have to discover that in the very waking state itself. In the very waking state, when you analyze your own waking state experience, even here, you have to know it is there, turiyam is that which obtains as the very swarupam of the experiencer. When it is said, in the waking state there is an experiencer. And who is the experiencer? Who is the experiencer here? So when you say, I am an individual, the entire world is experienced by me and I am the experiencer. Okay, the world is evident to me. The world is known to me, known by me, experienced by me. No? And all the objects are experienced by me. Therefore, I am the experience. With reference to the word, which is an object of experience, I am an experiencer. I am the experiencer because it is experienced by me. By me, every one of us can say this, isn't it? Every individual can say, Every individual is an experiencer from the standpoint of the world, isn't it? I am the experiencer. Every one of you can say, all of us can say that. When you refer to yourself, what do you say? You say, I. Definitely you won't say he, okay? She. She is Swamini. I don't say that. I am Swamini. You know? We don't use any other pronoun, a single pronoun, or any other pronoun except this first person singular pronoun, I. When I refer to myself, I use only specifically the first person singular pronoun, I. Therefore, if I am the experiencer, and then when I say I, definitely I am the experiencer, the world is an object of experience, the world is experienced by me. Here, if you are the experiencer, who are you the experiencer? Who are you the experiencer? Here, we already seen in Tattva Bodha, introduction to Vedanta classes, we have done this. Drik, Drishya, Viveka, Prakriya, we already used, analyzed very well. The Prakriya, the method of distinguishing the Drik from the Drishyam. Method of distinguishing the seer from the seen. First of all, you have to distinguish, you are the experiencer. But who are you the experiencer? You have to distinguish yourself, the experiencer, from the experienced, first of all. So anything which is beyond the body, external to the body, is known to you, experienced by you, perceived by you in any form, in the form of form or color or sound or light or taste or touch, anything experienced by you is object of your experience. You know you are different and distinct from all those other objects of experience. There's no doubt. But definitely you see your own physical body. Now from head to toes, you see this entire physical body, the gross body, which is also known to you, experienced by you. Therefore, when you say, I am the experiencer, and you the experiencer are different from the object of experience, anything experienced by you, your own physical body, which experienced by you is also comes under the category of the objects only. Therefore, your body also is included in the world of objects. Whenever you say the world of objects, you exclude your body. You see anything and everything external to the body, you see as the world of objects. As part of the world of objects. Do you include your physical body in the world of objects? You never. But now you have to learn to see, I, the experiencer, am different from anything and everything experienced by me. No? Anything experienced by me is an object of my experience. I am the experiencer different from the object of experience. Which means my own physical body is experienced by me. All the pains caused by the body also remained me. Definitely what? You have to learn to, isn't it? Definitely it is object of experience. My own physical body, I have to cognitively include it in the world of objects of experience, world of objects of knowledge, which means I cannot have I sense anymore in the body. As an individual, I can relatively identify myself with the body. I can say I go, I come, etc. But cognitively, intellectually, I have to see the fact of body being part of the objective material universe. Not only that, we have even see the subtle forms also, the subtle aspects which indwell this gross body, which are also objects of knowledge, even though they are subtle in nature. The subtle aspects which are not available externally for sense perception, like my limbs and my body, like my belly or my back or my hair, available, even though they are subtle aspects, they indwell the gross body, still I see the fact of even the subtle aspects which constitute the subtle body, which indwell the subtle body, also being objects of my perception. Which are not available for sense perception, but available for thought perception. Isn't it? That way, I negate what now? All my jnana indriyani, five sense powers, karma indriyani, my powers of organs of actions, pancha pranaha, five physiological functions, respiration, inhalation, exhalation, digestion, excretion, retention, all these physiological functions also objects of my knowledge which are not distant from me. The problem is, I the knower, I the experiencer, where am I? What is the distance between me and my physiological functions? What is the distance between me, the experiencer, and my physical body? What is the distance between me and my own my sense powers? What is the distance between me, the experiencer, and my own objects of experience, my powers of my sense powers, powers of organs of actions? No distance, that is the problem. I, the experiencer, am not at all distant from the body, my object of experience. I'm not distant from my sense powers, the objects of my experience. My physiological functions, my objects of experience. Understand? And similarly, which means, I, the experiencer, am not distant, but not distensible, non-distensible, but definitely I am distinct, isn't it? And not only that, you go to even your own mind, antahkaranam, much subtler aspect, all your emotions. You see your desires, you see your anger, you see your jealousy, you see your hatred, you see your restlessness, you see your agitation, you see your cheerfulness, you see your enthusiasm, you see your fear, you see your confusion, you see your compassion, you see all sorts of emotions. All of them are there. You cannot deny they are not there. But in what form do they obtain? What is the form that they obtain in? All of them obtain in subtlest material forms of thoughts. You can only understand how the thought is in the form of anger, in the form of all those things. That's how you can see. Your understanding, your ignorance. So, even those thoughts are also objects of your perception. Because these thoughts are there in waking state, and in deep sleep state, you also see these thoughts being not there. If there is a time when these thoughts are there, there is a time when these thoughts are not there. Isn't it? You see the thoughts, which means the thoughts are also objects of knowledge. That is why you can see you the experiencer. You are the experiencer, you the experiencer are distancelessly distinct from, coming and going, arriving, departing thoughts. Observing the arrival of thoughts, departure of thoughts, existence in deep sleep state, no thoughts. Thoughts are there, but not all these thoughts are not there. In waking, these thoughts are there. Emotions are there. emotions are not there in deep sleep state, which means thoughts are not there, which means the presence and absence of the thoughts. Certain thoughts, no? Most of the thoughts are absent in deep sleep state. And all these thoughts which exist in waking are not there in deep sleep state, which means presence of the thoughts is no experienced. Absence of the thoughts is experienced, which means you are the experiencer. Now, distinct from the experienced thoughts, it means even your thoughts, your mind, your intellect, your memory, even the very cognition that I am also come under the category of the objective universe. You know, to negate your mind, your intellect, your memory, even the ego. What is ego? The knowledge I am. That's also what comes under the category of the objective universe, the world of objects. Everything you negate as objects. So everything you negate, anything and everything which you negate as an object of your knowledge is what? Not you. Non-self. Therefore, anatma. So the whole jagat is what? Anatma prapanchaha. Anatma jagat. Anatma prapanchaha. So what about the body? Part of the objective universe. Therefore, anatma prapancha. Your body is included in anatma prapancha. What about your physiological functions? Anatma prapancha. What about your sense powers? Anatma prapancha. What about your powers of organs of actions? Anatma prapancha. What about your mind? Anatma prapancha. What about your intellect? Anatma prapancha. Your memory? Let me keep memory with me. No. Anatma prapancha. What about your ego? Ego also anatma prapancha. Understand? You are not ego. Nor are you egoistic. Another problem. You are not ego. You are not egoistic also. You are just yourself. Understand? Therefore, all anatma prapancha. What is left now? Other than anatma prapancha, what is there now? What is now? You, the experiencer, alone, are distinct from the anatma prapancha, which is inclusive of your body, mind, sense complex. That you, the experiencer, you have to say what now? What are you? And Mahavakyam says, Tattvamasi. Isn't it? Tvam, that you, the experiencer, distinguished from the experienced world of objects, experienced objective universe. You know, that experiencer or, that Lord. You are that Lord. Experience alone is equated to what now? Ishvara. You are Ishvara. Not this, okay? Now we say, you are Ishvara means, from the standpoint of, you can see, the Swarupam of Ishvara. Who is this experiencer? What is this experiencer? The experiencer is the Lord, which means Lord, here we say, the truth of the Lord, the whole, and truth of here, the experiencer is one and the same. Awareness. Is there an experiencer? Is there any other experiencer? There is no experiencer other than awareness, the consciousness. So what is that awareness? What that awareness is? Here, the experience, there is no experience other than awareness. Even though awareness is not the experiencer, there is no experiencer other than awareness. You are just the knower. You are experiencer. So you, the experiencer, are awareness. The pure awareness. It's like exactly saying, last class also I told the same thing. When you say the illuminator of all the opaque things, this is the entire house of opaque objects. The entire house of opaque objects, is illumined by, is it? When we say illumined here, there is an illuminator of this entire house of opaque things. And that illuminator is light. When you say the illuminator is only a status attributed to the light, really speaking, without the opaque things, if you see light from the standpoint of the light, just the light. Light is not the illuminator. Understand? Light is of the nature of illumining. And light, therefore, in the presence of the light, without any effort on the part of the light, opaque things shine. And therefore, from the standpoint of the illumined, shining, opaque things, the illuminator is status attributed to the light. Really speaking, from the standpoint of the light, light is not the illuminator. The standpoint of the shining, illumined, opaque things, the illuminator status is. You cannot give the illuminator status to anything else here except the light. Is it clear? Similarly, there is no, the knower experiencer status cannot be given to anything here. Mind cannot have the knower status. The sense powers cannot have this knower status. How can you give? Every known object, enjoys the status of being the known because they shine, because knowing, illumining is the very nature of the consciousness, is the turiyam. Knowing is the very swarupam, nature. That's why we say what now? The standpoint of the known, experienced, observed, the body, mind, and complex, the external world of objects, we say the knower status is attributed to the Atma. Knower is a temporary status attributed to the Atma. From the standpoint of consciousness, consciousness is not the knower. But there is no knower experiencer other than consciousness. And therefore, when you say, I, the self, am the knower, you are resolving I in, you are shifting the I sense from the known and resolving it in the knower. Understand? I, the self, am the knower. When you say, you are shifting I sense from where? Cognitively, you are shifting the I sense from the known. All the known you have shifted. And you have to place it where? Resolve it where? In knower. Then now you resolve the knower in consciousness. Then you are resolving I, the knower. I, the self, am the knower. Has to become what? I, the knower, am awareness or consciousness. You are now shifted the I sense from the known and resolved in the knower, resolve the knower in awareness, and you are resolving the I sense in awareness. Now what happened? Resolved. I sense is resolved. Understand now? Now we say, there is only awareness. Is it clear now? What is the truth of an individual? This is how that awareness, how do you arrive at the awareness? as the Swarup. First of all, you see yourself being the experiencer. And thereafter you discover the Swarup of the experiencer being awareness. Then you shift the essence from the known and resolve the essence in aware knower experiencer. Then by discovering the truth of the knower being awareness, you resolve the very essence in awareness. This how, what do you know? This what is Swarupena. In the, you know, as the very Swarupam, as the very truth of the awareness, you stumble upon, you arrive at the consciousness. Understand? That's why that which obtains as the truth of the innermost essence of an individual is the experiencer obtaining in every individual. An experience, the true Swarupam of the experiencer happens to be the awareness. That awareness obtaining as the inner Swarupam of experiencer is said to be what is implied by the term Atma. And that aware, understand? That Atma is what? Turiya Shabdartha. Is the meaning of the term Turiyam. Is implied by the term Turiya Atma. Is it clear? And that same awareness alone is there as what? Obtains as the experiencer in the dream state. And the dream also is an experience, the state of experience. And that in the dream also the experiencer distinct from but not distant from the dream object, world of objects, is who? None other than the same awareness. And the experiencer obtaining in deep sleep state when there is neither waking universe nor the dream universe, you know, the resolved unmanifest, everything is unmanifest, and that experiencer of that what now? Then absence of experience, experience of experiencelessness, isn't it? Is also the same awareness. How many experiencers are there? The states of experience are three. The experiencer is one and the same. Why? Because the dream experiencer is awareness, waking experiencer is awareness, and the deep sleep state experiencer also is awareness. Awareness is, we don't say awarenesses, isn't it? There is only awareness obtaining as the experiencer obtaining in all three states of experience. Therefore, like the fourth person is implied by the term Turiyam. Is it clear? Here also what is here we have done two things. Distinguishing, isn't it? To this method of distinguishing the knower from the known. First of all, you see yourself being the very experiencer, distinct from the experienced. Then you are not just experiencer, you the experiencer are awareness. You have second resolution is the second step. And that is what? Atma. Then you can say, Aham Atma. And that Atma is Brahma. Then you can say what? Aham Brahmasmi. Can you say that also? There is a verse in Kaivalya Upanishad. Beautiful verse is there. Trishu Dhamasu Yad Bhogyam. Ramasu yad bhogyam bhokta bhogascha
भोगश्च
यद्भवेत् तेभ्यो विलक्षणसाक्षी चिन्मात्रोहम्. यू कांट फाइंड दैट वर्स देयर. सदाशिवः
सदाशिवः.
सो सी त्रिषु धामसु इट्स इज अ मंत्र फ्रॉम कैवल्योपनिषद. ओके He says, Aham Sada Shivaha. Now, I, the Self, am pure awareness, which is of the nature of auspiciousness. I am Shivaha. Aham Shivaha. Shivoham, you say? Same, Sada Shivaha. But who am I? I, the Self, am the awareness. You know, of the nature of auspiciousness, I'm distinct from vilakshanaha, though not distant. What is the distance between light and the illuminator? What is the distance between light and the illuminator? Is it? But there we use these two terms, there's light and illuminator. Two terms are used. Really speaking, illuminator is light. Resolve the illuminator status in the light. And light is what? The truth, the sarupam, the existence, is it? Substratum of the illuminator. There is no illuminator other than the light. Just the light, isn't it? Therefore, but there's no, this light is distinct from the status. Illuminator status, isn't it? When you say light is not the illuminator, you say what? Light is distinct from the illuminator. But illuminator is none other than the light. When you say you are resolving the illuminator in the light. Do you get it? It's too abstract for you. It's okay. Similarly, no, Sakshi, we say Vilakshanaha. Sakshi. Vilakshanaha means what? Distinct. Sakshi. Now the one who obtains as the witness, which is distinct from, you know, all the, in all the three states of experience, there is what now we say, bhokta, the experiencer, bhogyam, the experienced, and bhogaha, experience. Okay, the witness, the Atma obtaining as the witness, the experiencer, in all three states of experience, is what distinct from the experiencer, the experience, and the experienced. Enjoyer, enjoyment, and the objects of enjoyment. Bhokta, this is a bhokta, enjoy, experiencer. Bhogaha, experience. Bhogyam, no? Enjoyed, experienced. In the world of the objects of experience. So here, what about the Turiya Atma Chaitanyam here? Awareness, the consciousness, the Turiyam is distinct from Vilakshanaha Sakshi, distinct from the experiencer, distinct from the experience, distinct from the experienced, but not distant. Is it clear? That's what Sadashivaha. This is a verse from the Upanishad. Just I want to say, and that it's given here. Anyway, I've already explained how this consciousness is the Lakshyartha. Implied meaning of the pronouns in Mahavakyam indicating Ishvara and Jiva. Is it clear that also? Okay, now we are at a completely new topic. The Turiyam will leave for good. For some time it has leave Turiyam. We will come to the Shaktis, the powers. The powers, okay? Now, okay, I want to to wake you up, okay? Okay, all, so you're not... It's clear, isn't it? Definitely today it must, even though it's repeatedly, it has been heard many times, it has been being heard many times, but still must become clearer every time you hear. Because you have to see the distancelessness also. That's very important. Distancelessness you have to learn, see, and the distinctness also you have to see. Okay. Now, we are going to see the power of this Turiyam, the awareness. Is it? And what is that power? You already say Ajnanam, you saw that. Now, this power of consciousness obtains in twofold forms. The two powers, you know, the Ajnanam itself is one power of consciousness, we say. But now this Ajnanam is said to have two powers, twofold powers. The Ajnanam is of two powers. The power is of two powers. The power is capable of doing two things. Therefore, it is said to be what? Then the Ajnanam is said to, the power of consciousness is said to have twofold powers. What does it mean? It is capable of doing two things. What can the power do? For example, I give you an example. If you are, see in a dim light, when you do not know the nature of the rope being rope. So you are ignorant of what the rope. You're ignorant of the rope. So your ignorance of the rope has two powers. You know, ignorance covers the rope. Your ignorance preventing you from seeing the rope being the rope is called what? Covering the rope, veiling the rope. Isn't it? It does first one thing. That's one job. One power. How powerful the ignorance is. How do you know? My God, your ignorance of the rope covers the rope. Which means, covering the rope means what? It has the power of veiling the rope, isn't it? The veiling the rope. It's called covering. The covering is called what? Avarana Shaktihi. The power of veiling is called Avarana Shaktihi. And not only does your ignorance has the power of veiling the rope, no, it prevents you from seeing the rope as a rope. It also what? No. No, it makes you see the rope as a snake. Isn't it? It makes the rope appear as the snake. It makes you see the rope as a snake. It's called what? Projection. Isn't it? You project. It's called power of projection. It's called Vikshepa Shaktihi. So veiling is also what? No, power of your ignorance. And the projection of rope also is what? Seeing the rope, now mistaking the rope for a snake is what? Your own projection, isn't it? It's called Vikshepa Shakti. Vikshepa, seeing something different from what is not, is what? Projection. Seeing something different from what is what? Projection. The projecting power, veiling power, are two powers of your Ajnanam. What it is capable of is looked upon as its power. Is it clear? Savarana Shaktihi and Vikshepa Shaktihi. Power of veiling and power of projecting. Similarly, here also, this Ajnanam, this Moola Ajnanam, Moola Ajnanam also has what now? Has two powers. Let us see what those two powers are and what they are capable of doing. Let us see that now. Asya. We have left the topic of Turiyam, okay? We have come to now Ajnanam. Is it? Ajnanam is what? Mula Vidya means the original, subtlest matter, isn't it? Asya. Ajnanasya. Avarana. Vikshepa. Namakam. Asti. Shaktidvayam. He says, Shaktidvayam asti. No, dve shakti is taha, it is difficult. So make it easy. Shaktidvayam asti. Instead of using dual, you can make it singular. Dvayam means a set of two. No, twofold powers. A set of two means what? Shaktidvayam. Twofold powers. Asti is there. What are those twofold powers? He says, they're known as Avarana Shaktihi Vikshepa Namakam. The two powers of this avidya, ajnana, mula avidya, the original matter. Now, said to be what now? The two powers are known by two different names. Avaranam, avarana shaktihi and vikshepa shaktihi. So, before even going there, I gave the example of rope and rope, isn't it? How ignorance can cause two things. Simply preventing you from seeing what is what? Covering. And later on, making you see what is not is called what? Projection. Seeing some, preventing you from seeing what is veiling, covering. And making you see what is not is projecting. Is it? Avarna Shaktihi, Vikshepa Shaktihi. Got it? I'm repeating all Sanskrit terms so you'll all get the words. Now, what does the Avarna Shaktihi do? That alone we'll see today. What does the power of veiling do? How does it function? Now, what is the function of the power of veiling? Function means what? How the power of veiling is, how it is, operates. Avarna Shaktihi Tavate Alpopi Megaha Anekayojanaya Tam Aditya Mandalam Avalokaitru Nayana Patha Pidhayakataya Yatha Achadayati Iva Tatha Ajnanam Parichinam Api Atmanam Aparichinam Asamsarinam Avalokaitru Buddhi Vidhayakataya Achadayati Iva Tadrisham Samarthyam. Samarthyam means capability, capacity, efficiency, the power, what you can do. For samarthyam, the word samarthyam. Now, it has that power, capacity. What can this Avarna Shakti do? What does it do? It says, see, when you see, example is given first. Understand example. This Avarna Shakti is what? Alpaha. It is isn't it? Limited. Even though it is limited in nature, it has its own limitation. Avarna Shakti is its own limitation. Even though it is limited, what does it do? For which, to understand it clearly, there is an example given here. See, if you are know, in monsoon time, when you see the sun, and you can see the entire sunlight, the sunlight pervades everything, everywhere, everything. And then sunlight, how much does the sunlight pervade? How much sunlight illumine? The entire sky, is pervaded by the sunlight, illumined by the sunlight. Not only the entire sky, the entire space and everything existing in the space, everything is pervaded and illumined by the sun, the sunlight, isn't it? And some clouds come. You see the sun above in the sky. Some clouds come and the clouds cover the sun. Can the clouds really cover the sun? Do the clouds really cover the sun? No. The clouds do not really cover the sun, cannot cover the sun, but they seem to be covering the sun, isn't it? Really speaking, the clouds do not cover the sun, cannot cover the sun. No, what do? They cover your sight, vision. By covering your vision, the clouds come. This is a very big difference, okay? The clouds cannot, do not cover the sun or the sunlight. But the clouds, when they come, the clouds only prevent your eyes from seeing the sun. What is covered now? Your vision. Your vision becomes blurred, isn't it? Your vision becomes distorted. Is it clear? The only covering your vision, covering your eyesight, it covers. And it makes you think what? The sun has no light. The sun is not bright. It covers your, the clouds cover your sight, your eyes. It prevents you from seeing the sun. Sun is not covered. Sun always shines. You are not able to see the sun. Why? When you are not able to see the sun, is it because sun is covered? Or is it because your eyes are covered? Isn't it? In fact, sun cannot be covered. When the clouds come, the clouds only cover your eyes. Which means, they prevent you from seeing the, eyes from seeing the sun. Similarly, here also Ajnanam, which is limited in nature, how can it, cover the limitless, all-pervasive, ever-free Atma, the Brahman? How can it cover? Isn't it? So your ignorance does not cover the Brahman, it only covers your intellect. Your buddhi, just as your cloud covers your eyes, it prevents your eyes from seeing the sun, the sunlight, similarly. Because, got it, very subtle lesson. Be very careful here. We always think clouds come and cover the sun. Don't we say that? The two things, isn't it? The perceiving eyes perceived sun, is it? Who is covered by what? The clouds cover what? The very clouds shine because of the presence of the sun. The clouds covering the sun itself is seen because of the very sunlight. So such sunlight, because of whose presence, because of whose light alone, the very clouds are seen, that the clouds covering the sun is seen. How can the clouds cover the sun? Prevent you from, isn't it? The clouds, when they come, they only cloud your vision, that they prevent you from seeing the sun. You think sun is not there. Sun is, you say what now? Oh, sun is, the clouds covered the sun. Clouds do not cover the sun, they cover your eyes. Understand? Similarly, the all-pervasive, ever-free Atma, how can Atma, the truth of the whole, be prevented, listen, from seeing, being seen? You must be all the time, you are seeing what? All the time you are seeing Atma. The seer is Atma, the seeing is Atma, the seen is Atma. There is nothing which is not Atma. All pervasive, all pervasive reality, Turiyam, how can it be prevented from seeing? You are always seeing. When you are seeing the clouds, you are seeing the sunlight. Understand? How can Atma is not prevented, but still you are not seeing the truth. Seeing the truth, you are not seeing the truth. Seeing the sunlight, you are not seeing the sunlight. Got it? Seeing the Atma, aware, experiencing the Atma, you are not experiencing the Atma. It is not because, no, it's ajnanam. This Avarna Shakti does not cover the Atma, cannot cover the Atma, it covers your intellect. Your sharpness is made what? Dulled. Is it? So your buddhi becomes restricted. Your buddhi capacity to see everything is it? Obstructed by ajnanam. So that's what he says. Similarly, what he says, megaha, see that word now, megaha. Megaha means cloud. How is it this megaha? You can say alpa. Isn't megaha very, clouds are not, no? Even though it is small, but what about the sun? Sun, see, aneka yojanaya, for a quite wider space, very widely, tam aditya mandalam, the aditya mandalam, isn't it? The sun and the widely spread sunlight, sun alone obtains as the widely spread all illumining sunlight is what? The sun, isn't it? Obtaining as the all-illumining sunlight, that sun. Avalokayitru means the one who sees, the onlooker, is called Avalokayitru, means the seer. You know, Avalokayitru. Nayana patha means what? Nayana means eyes. Patha means the way, isn't it? Nayana patha. So, it covering, blocking the eyesight. Nayanapata pidhayakataya. Pidhayakam, no? Pidhayakata means what, no? Covering. Covering. Is it blocking? Blocking the eyes vision. These clouds blocking the vision of the eyes. Yatha Achadayati iva. It, no, as though, it thinks what now? Achadayati iva. You see the clouds seem to be covering the sun. The non-coverable sun seems to be covered by the clouds because of the covering of your eyesight. Achadayati means covers, as though the sun is the widely spread sunlight, Understand? Which illumines even the very covering, the seemingly covering clouds, seems to be covered because of what now? Because your eyesight is blocked or covered by the clouds. Similarly, iva tatha, in the same way, ajnanam, parichinnam api, even though this ajnanam is limited in nature, but what does it do? Atmanam aparichinnam. No, this, the limitless reality, the Atma, the awareness, which is free from all limitations, no, asamsarinam, avalokayitru buddhi pidayakataya. Okay, buddhi pidayakam, but covering is buddhi. The ignorance covers your intellect. It cannot cover the Atma. What is, we had to, very clear, we have, it's a very subtle lesson. Hope you understand this. Isn't it? Ignorance, does the ignorance of the reality, does the ignorance cover the reality, the Atma, or does it cover my, does it block my buddhi from seeing it? What do we think? Ignorance covers the Atma. It's a very beautiful, subtle lesson. Hope you see it. Ignorance, which shines in the presence, shines in awareness, because of the presence of awareness, in the light of awareness alone, ignorance itself shines. And that ignorance, which is dependent on awareness even to shine, how can it cover the awareness? It doesn't cover the Atma. It covers your buddhi. As it's a buddhi pidayakataya. Then achadayati iva, as though it is covering the Atma. Tadrusham samarthyam. It is of that, no? Nature, it is of that power, it's of that power, it's of that capability. Tadrusham samarthyam asya jnanasya asti. This ignorance is of that power, it's such powerful, it's very powerful. What is it power? It can cover your buddhi and make you, it covers your intellect, intellectual capacity. It makes you think wrongly, what now? As though Atma is covered. Oh, I'm not able to see the Atma. Where is the Atma? Where is Brahma? Yeah, I'm searching for Brahman. I'm searching for Atma all the time. Why? I'm not able to see. We call it all sorts of, you know, intellectual journey and all those things. Searching. Searching for the buddhi. Our intellect is searching for truth, in quest of truth, we query on it. Isn't it? Search for it. A buddhi is blocked by ajnanam, not the Atma. So resolving the ignorance will not make the Atma shine, will make the buddhi. Isn't it? See. Got it? This is the lesson, important lesson, today's lesson. And for which, this is solved is what? This is what is called Avarna Shaktihi. What does the Avarna Shaktihi do? Very interesting, isn't it? Ati Sosa, hasn't it relieved you of the... Ah, thank God, we thought we have to search for Atma. Atma is always shining. Oops. You need not search for Atma. Understand? Atma will shine when? If your buddhi is blocked, no, the ignorance blocking your buddhi from seeing is removed, Atma will will shine to you. Atma is always there. But what do we think? Something is covering the Atma. Nothing is covering the Atma. Ajnanam is covering your Buddhi. It's a big difference, isn't it? You feel so relieved. Imagine if you have to go in search of Atma, means difficult. Thank God. What a big difference. This is a very nice lesson today. Removal of ignorance in terms of resolving the ignorance will really make my buddhi cognize. Not as an object, but as the truth of the subject and the object. And here, the beautiful verse from Hastamalaka is quoted by the teacher. I told you Vedanta, the speciality of the Vedanta Sara is, for every small lesson, there is a quotation from Upanishad, a quotation from some authentic, the work. And here Hastamalakam is quoted. I think I did a Hastamalakam Stotram, no? For you. Ghanacha. Don't worry about reading the Sanskrit, okay? Let's listen. If you have time, I can teach, otherwise I'll teach you next class. Ghanachanna drisht. The same example is based on this verse only. Ghanachanna drishtir ghanachanna markam yathamanyate nishprabham chati mudaha tatha baddhavadbhati yo mudha drishtehe sanityopalabdhiswarupohamatma. Nitya upalabdhi swarupaha aham atma. So I, the self, am the all-pervasive, innermost essence, the awareness. What is it? Always tata baddhavat bhati yaha mudadrishtehe. The delude, only for the deluded minded, atma seems to be bound. Whenever you say, I am, okay, Atma seems to be bound, limited, for whom? Only for Muda Drishte, for the deluded minded. One whose buddhi is covered by ignorance is deluded. Clouded with ignorance is deluded. For the deluded, the ignorant minded, Atma seems to be bound. Seemingly bound, not really bound, isn't it? Baddhavat bhati atma, for whom? Mudadrishtehe, for the deluded minded, clouded, one whose mind is clouded with ignorance. Like what? He says, ganachanna drishtihi, ganachannam arkam yatha manyate. Nishprabham, the ganachannam arkam. He says, ghanachanna drishtihi. Ghanam means ghanaha, ghanaha means megaha, cloud. The one whose drishti, one whose vision is covered by, these clouds, and ghanachanna drishtihi, the one whose vision is covered by the clouds, thinks, what now? Ganachannam arkam nishprabham. He thinks, sun is not bright, sun has no light. No, the sun is covered by the clouds. Whenever you see the clouds, what do you say? The clouds are covering the sun. Don't we make the expression? Tell me to the truth. Yes. We all say, we never say our vision is covered by the clouds. We always say this thoughtlessly, carefully, thoughtlessly we make this expression, clouds are covering the sun. Actually speaking, clouds, why do we say that? When our vision is covered by the clouds, ganachanna, channa means covered, isn't it? Ghanachanna drishtihi, the one whose vision is covered by the clouds, things, manyate, thinks what? Ganachannam arkam nishprabham. He thinks the sun is covered by clouds and the sun is also nishprabha. Sun is not brilliant. Doesn't shine. Sun is not seen. Why? Because clouds are covering the sun. Similarly, tatha, yatha. In this, you know, just as the one the thing, he thinks in the same way, the one whose buddhi is clouded by ignorance, and he thinks this all-pervasive atma, ever-free atma, is bound by ignorance. Is it clear? We'll see that next class. It's time. It needs a little more explanation. We'll see. Ghanaha means megaha. Ghanam means also what? No, weight also we say. Heavy, isn't it? Ghana. But here, ghanaha means cloud. The cloud is called ghanaha because heavy with, loaded with water. That's why. Understand? Ghanachanna drishtihi, say?
Ghana channa
means covered, okay? Ghana channa drishtihi. Ghana channam arkam. Yatha manyate. Nishprabham. Cha. Atimudaha. Not simply deluded. Atimudaha. Ati means what? Totally deluded. Absolutely deluded. Tatha baddhavat bhati yaha mooda drishtehe yaha atma baddhavat bhati. The atma which is na ever free atma which seems to be bound for the deluded minded, that ever free atma is myself, he says. Mooda drishtehe saha nitya upalabdhi swarupaha aham atma. This one verse needs proper teaching. We'll do this Hastamalaka one verse. If we do itself, we'll have a lot of understanding. Okay, we'll shoot next class. Ghanachanna drishtir ghanachanna markam yatha manyate nishprabham chati mudaha tatha baddhavad bhati yo mudha drishtehe sanityopalabdhiswarupohamatma. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.